Flying the Flag by Alex Shearer, starring Dinsdale Landon as Her Majesty's Ambassador, Mr. Mackenzie, and Peter Acre as William Frost. No special treatment.
Morning, Willie.
Hello, Helen. Is he in yet?
Is he yet? He's probably driving round the block waiting for somebody to put down the red carpet before he'll get out of the car. What's that you got?
Oh, they're handing them out in the subway. Didn't you get one?
No, I commuted in on my ice skates.
Well, you know, it's People's Health Awareness Week. Anyway, these are the government guidelines on how to look after yourself.
Let's see. Anything interesting?
No. Eat less fat, eat more fibre, take more exercise, live forever, all the usual stuff.
Oh, look, 16 ways to keep fit in the queue.
They show you here, look, how you and a fellow queuer can tie your string bags together and make a skipping rope, you see? Or you can all form a line and have a game of leap comrade.
These recommended alcohol intakes can't be right, can they?
Let's see. No, that's right, that's right. That's the same as the UK. 21 units for the average adult male.
What, per afternoon?
Well, I suppose they've got to wean them off it slowly. And, they've toughened up the warnings on the cigarette packets.
Oh, about time. The first ones they had were useless. Mm. The People's Surgeon General says smoking may make your curtains smell, honestly.
Morning, Helen. Morning, William.
Morning,
I don't know what's happened to that doorman, you know. I had to drive round the block for 15 minutes waiting for the red carpet to be unfurled. And the fanfare was very poor. Again.
Yes, well, maybe he needs a new bit of toilet paper for his comb, sir.
And the hip hip hooray and the hat throwing were extremely lukewarm, I felt.
Well, I don't think the doorman likes throwing his hat in the air, sir. He doesn't always get it back.
I see. And how are you, Helen? As attractive as ever, I see.
And you, sir. As handsome as usual.
Yes, yes. And William here. His normal self. Something for me there, William?
Yes, it's just the People's Republic Keep Fit Guidelines, if you want to see it, sir. They do have a section on health for pensioners.
Well, I must show that to Colonel Surikoff, then. I don't think I need any improvements to my regime, William. I've always kept myself in the very ping-pong of condition.
Oh, you still do your daily press-up, do you, sir?
Yes, well, I try to fit it in. What with that and my daily dozen and the 40 winks, I stay fairly on top. Yes, mens sana in corpore sano, William. A healthy mind and a healthy body.
Yes, well, one out of two. It's not bad, sir.
Yes. Is my diary full for this morning, Helen?
Yes, it is quite, sir.
And my teapot?
Right up to the spout, sir. Artificial sweetness still, sir?
No, I shan't take it anymore, Helen. Sweet enough without it, thank you.
Artificial enough without it, more like.
Outrageous slanders, Mr. Ambassador.
Yes, Colonel, indeed.
Malicious rumours.
And those too.
In fact, scurrilous diatribes and expletives deleted.
Well, that is a blessed relief, Colonel.
If I have said it again, I have said it before, that here in the people's democracy, we have absolutely no intention of privatizing the people's health service. People who say these kind of things, they must be sick.
But you are reforming the people's health service, Colonel.
Reforming it, yes, Mr. Ambassador, making it more efficient, but not privatizing it.
Uh-huh.
No, no, the right to free health care is a basic tenet of our political philosophy, from the cradle to the grave.
Yes, Colonel, as quickly as possible, too.
Not at all, Mr. Ambassador. Existence expectancy here in the people's democracy is well up into double figures.
Existence expectancy, don't you mean life expectancy?
Well, you can hardly call it a life. And of course all this care and medicine is absolutely free.
I thought you had introduced prescription charges, Colonel.
Yes, absolutely free, apart from the prescription charges.
And aren't you charging for eye tests?
Yes, absolutely free, apart from the prescription charges. And as for eye tests, our opticians don't really see the need for them.
And aren't you charging for hearing aids?
I'm sorry?
Hearing aids.
Oh, yes, quite so, Mr. Ambassador. But even the people liable to pay prescription charges don't actually ever have to pay them.
Oh, why not, Colonel?
We don't have any drugs. Though we may be backward in some areas, in others we lead the world in plastic surgery, transplants, and so on, which is why we are opening up clinics to an international clientele.
Not to bring the money in, eh, Colonel?
So that they may have the benefit of the finest surgical skills in the world and access to dedicated surgeons willing to perform such vital, life-saving operations as...
Facelifts, Colonel?
Well, if some vital career or marriage-saving operation is needed, we will do what we can. We have also pioneered a new technique of hair transplantation, Mr. Ambassador.
Oh, have you, Colonel?
Why be thin on the top and thick on the bottom when you can now be the other way round?
And would this be an expensive course of treatment?
No, not if you have the right insurance. In fact, I have some forms here, if you'd like to see them. And for moderate monthly installments.
But does one have to undergo a medical for that, Colonel?
No, not at all. Ah. Just take a small medicinal whiskey every now and again, Mr. Ambassador. That might be just a prescription, do you think?
Well, I think it's obscene. Bringing the precepts of the marketplace to people's health care? It's private enterprise gone mad.
Private enterprise hasn't just gone mad, Willie. It's been bonkers for a long time.
Yeah, well, it's certifiable now, I tell you. I mean, there are waiting lists for operations here as long as the High Street. Instead of looking after the comrades, they're just flogging off their medical expertise to a load of rich foreigners.
Want a biscuit with your coffee, Willie?
What you got?
Oh, I went and got some from the bakery. There's beetroot crunchies or chocolate indigestibles.
Yeah. I'll have a beetroot crunchy. Thanks. Mum, don't you think it's wrong, Helen? I mean, it's not just cosmetic surgery. I mean, look at this in the paper. People advertising to sell off bits of themselves for transplants. You know, but I mean, I've heard of selling your body, but not one piece at a time.
Well, when people are poor, Willie, and they've got nothing else to sell, they do sell themselves.
Oh, one of the absolutely...
What? What is it?
It's my tooth. Oh, God. I've tried to fill in your... God, it's that blinking biscuit.
Let me see.
Can you see anything?
Yes, hang on, just open a bit wider.
Helen, look, I'm just... Helen, why do you have your hand in William's mouth? If you two have started bickering again...
We think he's lost a filling, sir.
Oh, have you, William? Oh, I must ring the Japanese ambassador later. Thank you for reminding me. Well, I hope you find it. I'll be with the American ambassador, Helen, if anyone calls.
At the American embassy, sir?
No, a bit more peripatetic than that. I'll see you both later. I won't be back for an hour or so. Thank you, William. Kind of you to say so. Goodbye.
Are you okay there, Mac? Shall I close the sunroof?
Well, as it's pouring with rain, Spider, I think it might be a good idea.
Okay. Driver, if you hang a right here, we'll go down Comrade Boulevard again by Pinko Square. Okay? So, what do you think of the limo, Mac? It's my latest concept.
Yes, I was afraid it might be, Spider.
I mean, working golf, working breakfast. It's old chapeau, Mac. This is my new idea. Working, dragging the main. See, I got it all here. In-car telephone, fax machine, TV, CD, restroom. This car's even got an engine.
That's amazing, Spider.
Say, driver, can you go around the block again? We'll take another look at those broads. Say, Mac, is that right, what I hear about England? That they've got some great broads in Norfolk?
They're a bit on the flat side, Spider.
Oh, flat broads, huh?
Is this purely a social affair, Spider? Because I am a busy man.
You're right, Mac. Business first, broads after. See, the thing is, we're dealing with the major issues here. The People's Republic. It's struggling to get up onto its feet, and we've got to do everything we can, Mac.
What, to kick it back down again, you mean, Spider?
Oh, I mean to help it attain what it's aspiring to help it be like us. I'm talking about the American way, Mac.
Yes, well, there's nothing like aiming high. But do you think a hospital is the place for the ethics of the marketplace, though, Spider? I would have thought the sports field was more the place for competition.
Well, it works in America, Mac. Competition gets you the best service. Why, you have an accident in the Big Apple. You got a choice of four different ambulance firms swarming all over your body, all wanting a leg each.
So people in America have four legs, do they, Spider?
Why, they just check your insurance, put you into the meat wagon, and off you go. And you know they're going to treat you good, because if you're dissatisfied with the service, you'll just walk out of intensive care and take your business elsewhere.
But what if you don't have insurance? I understand that you can be left in the street.
Well, come on, Mac, be fair. If you can't afford to go to hospital, you shouldn't go having accidents. But yeah, we got a mess of stuff we could do for these commies. We got a heap of clinics who'd love to open up operations here.
Medical operations.
Franchise operations, Mac. High Street walk-in medicine. You must have heard of the American chiropodous chain, Colonel Rogers' Kentuckian growing toenails.
No, I haven't.
Sure, you get your feet done and have some fried chicken at the same time. Then there's Miss Thelma's American-style home vasectomies, Mac. You go in, have a local, a quick snip. 10 minutes later, you're sitting up eating cookies.
Get a lot of repeat business there, Spider.
You'd be surprised, Mac. People love it. They just keep coming back for more. Medicine, burgers, it's all the same. That's what they've got to understand here, that medicine is a product. You got to market it aggressively. No one's that healthy that they don't need some treatment. Productivity, that's what we're talking.
Unnecessary operations, Spider, seems to be what we're talking.
So a guy feels okay. He thinks he's healthy. But is he, Mac? Is anyone with a wrinkle on his face or a gray hair on his head a healthy guy?
So you're saying that getting old is a sort of disease, then, Spider?
Sure, yeah, can be, Mac. It's just a question of marketing and persuading the public to think so. Get people to pay for unnecessary operations. The necessary ones pay for themselves. And what else have the wealthy nations got to do with their money? You got your car, you have your holidays, you get your decorating done. Then what are you going to spend it on? You go get your face lifted. Treat yourself to some cosmetic surgery. Say, Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting a little thin on the top story there?
Oh, of course not, Spider. Even if I was, that sort of thing wouldn't bother me. Some of us know how to grow middle-aged gracefully. Am I really getting a bit thin, though?
Well, it's more kind of emaciated, really. Say, Mac, can I ask you a straight question? Do you think if I had a few tucks done here and there that I'd attract the younger kind of broad? Do you think I should get my crow's feet done?
Well, if you do, Spider, I should get the beak looked at while you're there.
Huh?
Hello, Helen.
Hello, Willie. How's the tooth?
Oh, God, it's misery.
So, did you phone the dentist?
Yes, he gave me an appointment.
When for, this afternoon?
4 months' time.
4 months' time? But didn't you tell him you had to go on the emergency list?
That is the emergency list.
Oh, that's ridiculous, Willie. You can't wait that long. Oh, come on, I'll ring up my dentist. He does all the diplomatic stuff and the foreigners here.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Why ever not?
It's a matter of principle. I'm not swanking about here, you know, the big shot Westerner. Look at me with my money and my health insurance. I can jump the queue. No. Solidarity, that's what's needed. When in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Well, I can't see many Romans sitting around with toothache. They've got more sense.
It'll be all right. It's only 4 months. It'll soon pass.
Yes, one long second at a time.
Just do a temporary repair.
With what? What are you doing?
Oh, I bought some cotton wool. I just chew on that for a while.
So, Mr. Ambassador, today is the opening day for our People's International Foreign Currency Medicine Clinic, where the finest expertise and most advanced plastic surgical techniques will be available to all.
All who can pay, that is, of course, Colonel.
Along with transplants, facelifts, breast enlargements, tea, coffee and light refreshments. Allow me to give you a brochure.
Oh, thank you.
By the way, Mr. Ambassador, I must express my thanks for all the assistance yourself and Ambassador Weinberg gave in procuring equipment for our People's Public Hospital. Especially for that great modern innovation, a trolley.
Well, I just felt that the fireman's lift down to the operating theatre wasn't the best means of proceeding, Colonel. Neither for the porters, nor the patients.
Ah, yes. Yet our people do not mind a little inconvenience, Mr. Ambassador. As we say, thin clothes make for thick skins.
Just as well, too. From what I've seen of your operating theatres, they're more fringe operating theatre.
Some do operate on a shoestring.
Well, they ought to use proper sutures, Colonel.
By the way, Mr. Ambassador, I don't know if you had a chance to consider it, but as an introductory offer, hair transplants are 2 follicles for the price of 1 for a limited period.
Oh, really?
Yes. And you know how the pressure is always on us diplomats to look young and sprightly.
Right. Tell me, Colonel, not to be diplomatic, the brutal truth. Do you think I'm losing some hair?
Yes, well, maybe the answer is blowing in the wind, I think, Mr. Ambassador.
Yes, yes.
Why, do you think my ears do protrude a fraction?
Well, code word jug-handled, I think,
Colonel. Then perhaps another little pick-me-up?
You'd never think so small a thing could cause you so much suffering.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Willie.
Go
Can I have one of your leather gloves to bite on?
No, you cannot. You've already bitten a hole in my handbag and all my change is dropping out.
Well, is there any more oil of cloves, then?
No, the tanker doesn't deliver again until tomorrow. Honestly, Willie, I simply cannot stand this. I'm going to ring up the dentist and make you a private appointment.
No! It's no good. I'm not going privately. I'm going to wait my turn just like everybody else.
Oh, Willie, you're just being a martyr.
I am not! If all men are equal, Helen, then they're equal in their sufferings too, and they're equal in their entitlement to relief.
Oh, all right, Willie. Look, I can't stand to see you in pain like this. I'll pay for the dentist.
No, thank you. I don't accept charity.
Do you think prolonging your agony is really helping anyone?
Look, it is no use trying to get round me. No! I don't use money as a tool of oppression. I'll wait my turn. God, excuse me then. I must go and get something to bite on. Does anyone want this old table leg in the cupboard here?
Ah, good morning, Helen. Good morning, William.
Good morning, sir. I'll just get on with some work.
Where is William going with that table leg, Helen?
I believe he's going off to bite it, sir.
Oh, well, there's nothing wrong with being an eager beaver, but you can take things too far. I'm just popping out for a while, Helen.
Oh, right you are, sir. Where shall I say?
Oh, just out for a check-up at the People's International Clinic.
Oh, you're not unwell, sir.
Oh, no. Peak of condition, Helen. No problems at all. Just a general scalp check-up. Have you seen my briefcase?
Is this it here, sir, with your Jim Jams in it and this pamphlet? Advice for those thinking of a hair transplant. Yes, baldness can be cured.
Yes, well, I'll be back in a few hours, Helen, or maybe in the morning, if they keep me in overnight, if I'm busy and overnight.
Right you are then, sir.
Oh, and Helen, don't let William eat any more of the furniture, at least not without signing a chitty.
Morning, Helen.
Go to the dentist.
No, I've made my position clear, thank you.
You'll get no sympathy here, then. In fact, if you don't stop going around looking so miserable, you might get pushed out of a window.
Look, I don't care what it costs in terms of my suffering, but I don't compromise my principles.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, William. Good morning, Helen. No, quite right, William. A diplomat should compromise anything but his principles. He needs the life raft of his integrity to cling to in what is otherwise a career of total moral shipwreck.
Yes, sir.
If you don't wish to go to the dentist, William, don't you go. People will only admire you for it. A few months of toothache never did anyone any harm.
Thank you for those words of kindness and support, sir.
Shall I take your coat for you, sir? And your hat?
My hat, Helen.
Oh, yes. Is it a new one, sir? I didn't know you wore a balaclava.
No, only in commemoration of the liberation of Sebastopol.
In fact, is that something under your hat, sir? You haven't injured yourself. It looks a bit like a...
What do you mean, a bit like what, Helen?
Oh, well, a bit like bandages, sir.
Bandages? Yes, well, I just happened to cut myself combing.
Oh, do you want me to have a look at it, sir? Put a Siptic pencil on it or some Tippex?
No, I just leave it on for a couple of days. Oh, and could I have an extra cushion for my office chair, Helen?
Yes, what sort of cushion, sir?
Well, a soft one, preferably. Yes, just a twinge in the small of the back. In fact, that one that William's biting might do when he's finished with it.
Yes, sir, I'll bring it in.
And some coffee, please, Helen.
Yes, sir. He's up to something, isn't he, Willie? With those bandages on his head, he looks like the Invisible Ambassador.
Mind you, he always did.
Ring up the dentist, Willie, and put me out of your misery. You don't know how it upsets me to see dumb animals suffering.
I'll be all right. God, if you're taking the cushion away, can I just bite your briefcase for a while?
Certainly not. My mother gave it to me. Go and bite your own.
You find those painkillers afford you some temporary relief, do you, William?
Oh, well, the analgesic spray seems to help most, sir. It's really for sports injuries, but if you spray your head, sir, it all goes numb.
Oh, you notice the difference, do you?
How's your head, sir? You hope to have the balaclava off soon, do you?
Oh, within a day or two, William, yes.
I've never heard of anyone cutting themselves combing before, sir. It must have been quite a nasty injury.
No, you know me, William, a stickler for a decent parting and a smart appearance.
Oh, yes, I remember that other incident, sir, when you were polishing your shoes and the duster caught fire.
Yes, quite a nasty blister. The new clinic seems to be doing good business, though, William. Foreigners everywhere coming over to avail themselves of the local expertise.
Oh, Just seems all wrong to me, sir.
I sometimes get the feeling, William, that everything seems wrong to you.
No, I mean this noxious and repellent trade in organs, sir.
Hammond organs, William?
Human organs, I mean, sir. Surely this isn't what openness and reform is all about. Allowing rich foreigners to come over here to use precious medical facilities and to buy up kidneys from impoverished peasants for transplants. I mean, what about the ethics of it, sir?
Well, what have medicine and ethics ever had to do with each other? Strange, overcrowded bedfellows indeed, William.
No, the treatment you receive should depend on how badly you need it, sir, not on whether, you know, you can pay for it or not. I mean, in a democracy, money can't buy you a vote, so why should it buy you better health care?
Why should money buy you better anything, William? Why should you be allowed to spend your money on any old useless rubbish, but not be permitted to spend it on your health?
Well, I'm not going to go private with my tooth, sir.
But you seem to have gone public with your sufferings and complaints. Well, if you have some work to do, William.
Yes, sir. Just go and bite some diplomatic bags.
Yes, and you couldn't get me a few more soft cushions, could you? Or maybe I could borrow some of this spray.
Oh, yes, help yourself.
Thank you. Oh, that's better. I'm just off to the barber's, Helen.
The barber's, sir, you said? Do you think there's much,
Something the matter, Helen?
No, sir, no. I see you've taken your balaclava off, sir.
Yes, things seem to be a lot better.
Yes, yes, well, I'm glad you're back to normal, then.
Anyway, I'd better pop down to the barber's for a bit of a trim, Helen. Don't want it getting too long. Over the collar.
No, sir, obviously not. Whatever it is. Willie? Do you have a minute?
I'm a bit busy, Helen. I've got my toothache to be obsessed with and this new bag of cotton wool to chew on. Sorry, what was it?
I don't know, Willie. It could be my imagination.
Oh, I wouldn't think so.
But it's the old man.
What about him?
Well, haven't you noticed? He seems to be getting, well, hairier.
Hairier? Hairier where?
On the visible bit, Willie, on his head.
Oh, is he? Well, he's probably just combing the strands over again,
no,
you know.
No, honestly, he's got new sort of curly, wispy bits on it. They weren't there before.
What do you mean, wispy bits?
Yes, I mean, they look a bit odd, really. In fact, it doesn't look like the sort of hair you'd expect to see growing on someone's head. Looks like it belongs somewhere else.
What do you mean, like where?
I don't like to say, really, but it looks like, looks like it's come off his bottom.
What do you know about men's bottoms?
Willie, you only have to go to the beach. You see, men with such hairy bottoms, they probably have to go over them once a week with a fly-mow.
Ooh, actually, that must be why he keeps disappearing down to the people's clinic. they must be taking it off his sit-upon and sticking it on his head. I mean, it brings a whole new meaning to a short back and sides, doesn't it? Oh, God, my tooth! Oh,
Willie. Let's just get a piece of string, tie it to the doorknob and slam the door shut.
I'm not having anyone tie any string to my tooth, thank you.
Who's talking about your tooth?
Well, Mr. Ambassador, here you are. And looking younger than ever these days, if I may say.
Thank you, Colonel, and yourself. Quite a remarkable transformation. You've even started looking like your official photograph.
Oh, flattery, Mr. Ambassador. It is nothing, really. Just a little minor cosmetic surgery, a trivial rearrangement.
And I'm sure that having your ears adjusted must have cut down on the wind resistance quite a bit, too.
Oh, yes, there's no doubt about it. I'm getting many more miles to the gallon, and I'm cornering much better than I used to.
Good.
And you, Mr. Ambassador, are displaying quite a fine head of... what is the word for it you have in English?
A hair, Colonel.
Oh, is it? Yes, yes, good. I even understand that Ambassador Weinberg has had a nostril job?
A nose job, and a good job, too. Though there have been certain unfortunate side effects. Apparently his contact lenses won't stay in.
Well, we all have to suffer in the name of handsome.
Right.
Is there anything wrong with your head, Mr. Ambassador? Seems a bit red. Some kind of rash, maybe?
No, Colonel. Just a minor scalp complaint, I'm sure. Well, what about a whiskey to celebrate our good looks and fortune?
Not for me, thank you, Mr. Ambassador.
Not for you, Colonel. No whiskey.
No, I would normally join you. Just since I had my ears reshaped. I seem to be having a little trouble in swallowing.
Oh, just the one, Colonel. Can't do any harm.
Very well. If you insist, shall we drink to modern medical techniques?
To medicine, Colonel.
To medicine. Oh, dear.
Oh, are you all right, Colonel?
I think one of my lug holes has come undone.
Hey, Helen, have you seen? He's gone back to wearing his balaclava.
Yes, I know. Something's gone wrong with his hair transplant.
Well, I suppose you can't blame his head for rejecting the hair when you consider where it came from.
Well, we're only surmising, really. We don't definitely know. And it may have come off some animal or something.
Oh, yes, well, the embassy cat has been looking nervous recently.
But it looked like he had some kind of skin allergy to me.
What do you mean?
Well, don't take my word for this, Willie. I mean, I'm no expert. But it just looked a little bit like nappy rash.
On his head. I knew that's where it had come from.
Oh, my tooth!
Right, Willie, that does it. I'm not putting up with you putting up with it any longer.
Oh, all back to normal then, I see, sir.
For what back to normal, William?
Your some slight scalp complaint, sir.
What slight scalp complaint was that, William?
No, I mean, I'm sorry, I mean the problem with the, you know, with the fluff.
Fluff,
sir.
William, what fluff?
Oh, nothing, sir. Probably just my imagination.
You seem to be tucking into those biscuits, William, with what can only be described as great gusto. I thought the dentist couldn't see you for months. Surely sugar and raw nerves aren't the gainliest of companions.
Oh, yes, sir, that is, well... I was prevailed upon to moderate my stance.
Oh, prevailed upon, were you, William? I wouldn't have thought a man of your tenaciously held principles would have consented to having his stance modified. You don't mean you went privately.
Oh, no, it was more Helen, sir.
Oh, she went and had her teeth done on your behalf, did she? Sort of fillings once removed.
I don't know, it's just that she was so distressed by the obvious pain I was in, I didn't think it right to prolong her ordeal,
sir. Oh, how altruistic of you, William. There aren't many who put the interests of others first like that.
Well, yes, thank you, sir, but... So, well, I did go, but I didn't pay for treatment. I drew the line at that. I insisted on free treatment, or I refused to go.
Oh, so you didn't pay at all, William?
No, she did, sir.
Oh, I see. I seem to remember it was a friend of Mahatma Gandhi's who once said that it was costing her a fortune to keep him in poverty.
And, in addition, sir, I insisted before I'd agree to go to the dentist that whatever my treatment cost Helen... She had to give an equal amount to charity.
Oh, that was magnanimous of you, William. A spirited gesture like that.
Oh, thank you, sir. So, far from jumping the queue, I was really making space for somebody else. And I have to say, in all fairness, sir, that they did a wonderful job on my teeth, and it didn't cost a penny.
Excuse me, sir. I'm just off to do my evening job now.
All right, you are, Helen. What evening job's that, William?
I was just trying to make herself a little extra pin money for some reason, sir.
Tooth money, more like.
These women, William. You don't know what they spend it on, do you? Handbags and glad rags. That's where it all goes.
Yes, that and the make-up, sir. Terrible extravagance, really.
Yes, always standing in front of the mirror, titivating themselves, aren't they? Oh, by the way, William.
Yes, sir?
I know I don't look my age.
Oh, I doubt that anyone could, sir.
And I mean, you couldn't really call these little after lines wrinkles in the strict meaning of the word.
Oh, character, sir, character.
Yeah, but do you think it would benefit the prestige of the Foreign Office if I were to have a little bit tucked here and there?
Well, if you're going to do it for the sake of the service, sir.
Well, I wouldn't do it for any other reason, William. For as you know, appearances, uniforms, the mean and petty ways in which one man tries to assert his superiority over another, these things are as naught to me.
No, sir, of course not. When shall I book you in for, sir?
Well, there seems to be some space in the diary for Friday afternoon. If you'd ring the clinic...
A private room, is that, sir?
Oh, no, not at all, William, no. If a public ward was good enough for Prince Charles, it's good enough for me.
Oh, right you are, sir.
Oh, just make sure I have it to myself, that's all. Oh, but William...
Yes, sir?
Do make it clear to them. No special treatment.
In No Special Treatment, you heard Dinsdale Landon as Mackenzie, Peter Aker as Frost, Moya Leslie as Helen, Christopher Benjamin as Surikoff, and Stephen Greif as Spyro. The producer was Neil Cargill.